Glory to God, to 15. Amen. Amen. When you get there, let us all stand as we show reverence to the word of the Lord. Amen. James chapter 5. God bless you.
Thank you.
Verses 13 to 15. Amen. If you're there, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the Bible says in James chapter 5 verses 13 to 15. Turn me down just a little bit. God bless you.
Thank you.
James says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We know, Lord, that your word does not need any help. And so, Father, I pray, God, that you would use your word today to accomplish your will for us as believers. Father, you've given us a mind, and so I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would help us today to receive this word. Father, you've given us a will, but today, Lord, I pray that we would bow down to your will and do what this word says.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you today, and I pray that you would use this word to encourage us, to stretch us, to strengthen us, so that we might live a life that brings you glory. Father, yes, I've studied, but I need your strength. Lord, yes, I have prepared, but I need your power. Speak now, Lord, as only you can. Fill me with your spirit, God, that I might teach your word and preach your word under your anointing power. Give me your strength, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. 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 I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to say or share to your neighbor, don't stop talking to God.
Don't stop talking to God.
We are, if you don't know it already, we are living in very challenging times. I know all you got to do is turn the news on or read the paper and see all the calamity and all the difficulty that is going on all across our country. But not only is there ordeals and conflict and situations in our country, there's also conflicts and situations in our own lives. And it is God's will that we understand that we don't get so comfortable with the tragedy and the difficult and the hardship that we begin to make that our normal. And when we make that our normal, we stop talking to God. There's some folks who are out there today who are convinced that God is not real, that I've been talking to God, Pastor, and God has not moved on one situation in my life. And subsequently, because God does not move in the time frame or in the fashion that they so desire, what happens is they say, I'm going to stop praying. Because obviously, help us, Lord Jesus. Obviously, if prayer worked, then God would be moving on my situation. And so I'm here today with some good news.
Thank you, Lord.
That as believers, when we pray a prayer of faith, a prayer of faith can simply be summed up as having a steadfast determination not to give up while I'm praying.
Amen.
I see what's going on. I see what's happening. I know how I feel because of what's going on. But a prayer of faith is determined, good God Almighty, that I'm going to keep praying until God moves something in my life. God wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to make our request to Him. And I believe that as God hears our prayers, that God is calling us not to just want things or want His stuff, but I believe God is calling us to want Him more than we want stuff. And so when we pray a prayer of faith, a prayer of faith is knowing that God's timing is perfect, even if He doesn't move in the fashion and in the way that I might want Him to. A prayer of faith is understanding that God has already a planned agenda for my life, and no matter what is going on, I know that this must be part of the plan. Because if it wasn't part of God's plan, then it would not be taking place in my life. Now understand what I'm saying. Because just like a play, there's some highs and some lows. There's some rejoicing and there's some melancholy. You can't have a good story without both playing a part. Amen. In your life. I know we want it good. I know we want it perfect. I know we want it to be rose gardens all the time. But I'm telling you this morning that there are things that God is going to permit to do in your life that's part of your story that you ain't going to be comfortable with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a prayer of faith understands that God is in control, not me. A prayer of faith understands that God is the one who is doing what? Ordering my steps in His word. And it's not me ordering my steps, because the truth is, when I have ordered my own steps, God even made that a part of my story. Help us, Lord Jesus. And so when we pray, we have to identify with God who determines the outcome of everything in our life. And so we've got to stop as believers identifying with the trouble and identify with the plan. Help us, Lord. Prayer is the thing that we need to do first, not the last thing that we do after we have tried everything. Now, because everything has fallen apart and has failed, now I'm going to try God. But I'm telling you this morning that God wants us to try Him first. Help us, Lord Jesus, that He wants us to come to Him first. And you don't have to have a dictionary lineup of words to use when we talk to God. And you know, people trouble me when they say that you got to talk to God. So, no, the same way you talk to your neighbor is the same way that God wants to hear you. God wants to hear your voice. He wants to see your heart. In our prayer life, we must draw closer to living out God's will through connecting with Him in prayer. To sum it all up, prayer is simply communicating with God in a sincere way, but with my faith out front. And so when I have a conversation with God, I want us to understand something. First thing is we've got to learn to pray through our afflictions. Look at what it says. Glory to God in James chapter 5. In verse 13, it says, and I want you to understand that James initially wrote this song, wrote this text or this book. And this particular text is talking about meeting the special needs of people who are suffering or who are in trouble. And so he says in verse 13, glory to God. He says, is anyone among you in trouble? Now it says suffering, but a lot of times when we suffer, sometimes it's because of some decisions we've made. Amen. 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 And nobody invites themselves to suffering. Nobody chooses suffering. But there are some situations that you and I are going to have to face
that if Jesus had a cross, I mean, and the Lord tells us to pick up our cross. He said, if you're going to serve me, you're going to have to pick up your cross and then follow me. And so there's some points in your life where you are going to go through some moments and some times of suffering and affliction. And listen to what I'm saying. Whether you brought it on yourself or it is God's will for you to go through what you're going through, the truth is there's some things you're going to have to learn how to get strong in and learn how to pray in while you're going through them. Ain't no easy street with God.
None.
He does have some rose gardens, but guess what? A lot of times we ain't walking through that, because if we simply always walk through the rose garden, you have to understand that sometimes you might be pricked by the thorns that are on the rose, and you still have to keep on moving.
Amen.
I know it's hard. I know nobody invites affliction into our life. I know nobody volunteers for affliction. But in the day of affliction, nothing is more powerful than prayer when you are affected by affliction. We must pray as well as engage the prayers with God, so that as we pray, we're understanding who God is, and we're understanding what God can do, and we're understanding the power that God has, and we're understanding the authority that we're under.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
I'm telling you, you can't pray if you don't have no faith. And understand what I'm saying. Even when we intercede for others and pray, guess what? They got to have some faith too in order for God to do what he's going to do. God is just not simply going to move just because we pray, but you got to have some faith, because without faith, your prayer is just words. Lord, move on this. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. And you may be emotional when you're praying, but if you don't have no faith in God, then God, listen, because the Bible says faith is what does what? Faith is what moves God.
That's right. Amen.
Well, Pastor, I cried all night long. Guess what? God ain't gonna move because of your tears. Well, I shouted my face off. God ain't gonna move just because of your shout. What God needs to see is the faith that is in your heart operating, that you believe. I don't care how difficult it might get. You believe that God is going to do this. So that's why we can't ever stop talking to him. Yes, it's gonna get difficult. Yes, the forecast is cloudy. Yes, there's some things that's going to feel like they are storms and they're never going to stop. But the truth of the matter is the thing that keeps us strong and steady and keeps our ground from shaking is having faith that what I'm asking God to do. And that's why as believers, when we're in affliction, we cannot allow the challenge of our affliction to be the thing that we focus on, because then we pray for God to pull us out of it. God, take me out of it. God, do this. God, do that. And the reality of it is that part of the affliction is that we understand that we've got to come to God with humility.
Amen, amen, amen.
So sometimes the trouble comes because God wants to show us who we are, while at the same time showing us who we're not. Help us, Lord Jesus. Because what God wants is a contrite heart. You know what a contrite heart is. A contrite heart is simply saying that my heart now, God, is open to whatever you want to do. Sometimes we pray to God and we're trying to order God around, and like we're in a restaurant and we're ordering something, and the person what we ordered brings us out what we ordered. Well, I'm telling you, God doesn't work that way. There are some things you might be ordering that is not in the will of God for you. And so God is not going to move on anything outside of his will.
Amen.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Turn to somebody and say, pray through your afflictions.
Pray through your afflictions.
See, God wants us. I'm telling you, God's looking for seekers. He's not just looking for sayers. He's looking for some folks that when it get difficult, they know how to get on their knees and say, oh God, I know how challenging this is, but God, you gonna bring the best out of me because of, see, God's looking, when we go to God in prayer, God is looking for seekers. He says in his word, he said, seek me while I may be found. God has said, I'm standing right in front of you and you don't even see me. And so I have to cause some calamity or some difficulty so that you can bow down and humble yourself and become a seeker of me.
Yes.
God's saying this morning, are you looking for me?
Yes.
I'm here. Do you see me standing in front of you? Or is the problem that you're facing becoming a big of a giant than I am? Help us, Lord. God wants us to seek him. And sometimes we are brought to a place. Help us, Lord Jesus, through our challenges in life where we will have to inquire after God. You ever been in a situation in your life and you know could nobody help you but Jesus? And you were laying there on your bed of affliction. You were in your job on your seat of affliction. You may have been in your home but the truth of the matter is that God is saying to us this morning, when you talk to me, act like you know who I am and that you need me. See, because God operates out of his love. Just like a parent.
Amen.
I don't care what your child needs. If your child calls you and says, hey, I've been in an accident, you're concerned about it. And you're wondering, how can I get to my child?
Right.
If your child calls you and is in need of something and you have it to give to them, you don't sit there and say, well, listen, I want you to grovel a little bit for it. I want you to beg a little bit for it before I, no, nobody's child in here has to beg them or beg their parent to do anything. If there's a need, the parent then help us, Lord Jesus. God, I know you speaking to somebody. If there's a need for the child, the parent operates out of their what? Love for the child.
Yes.
Amen.
Even if the child ain't halfway doing what they're supposed to do, they say, I'm only doing this cause what? I love you. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what you're in. I don't like what's going on. But I see there's a need that you have. And so I'm going to meet that need. Why? Because I am the parent.
Amen.
And you are the child.
Amen.
And so the Bible teaches us that God is our heavenly parent.
Thank you, Father.
That prayer reveals God's wisdom and power.
Thank you, Father.
That when I pray and I trust and believe in God, through the affliction that I'm in, God opens the door for me. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but there have been situations in my own life where every door seems shut and I say, Lord, I don't know what to do next. And then out of nowhere, God opens a door because he won't allow the suffering or the pressure to be on us to the point that he said that if it gets too difficult, I'll make a way of escape for you. And some of us need to learn how to look for the way of escape, because when God opens the door, it is by his wisdom and his power that we move and operate.
Thank you, Lord.
Help us, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
See, God wants us to invest our energy or energies in that which is greater and more lasting than ourselves. You know, I often say this, that we have to understand that prayer is spiritual. Yes, part of it is physical, but there's a part of prayer that goes beyond the natural to move into the supernatural. And so when we have faith in God and we go into prayer, yes, we are praying in the natural and we are praying physically, opening up our mouths. But at some point during your prayer, you ought to stop focusing on your words, and you begin to focus on the power of God to move on what you're asking him to do. And so while you're praying, sometimes you got to stop and check yourself and say, am I praying? Is this to God or is this to me? Because if this is just to me, then God ain't going to move on what I'm asking him to move on. And so at some point, yes, the prayer is physical and it's natural, but while you're praying, glory to God, it ought to shift and turn into something that is spiritual and supernatural.
Yes. Amen, 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 amen.
And I'm telling you, what makes it spiritual and supernatural is faith. Yes. Because faith is what takes our prayers above the ceiling. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith is what takes our prayers beyond what we say out of our mouths. See, because the Bible says that God is a spirit, and the word of God says that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so at some point when we're praying to God, words ought to become spiritual.
Amen.
Words ought to become transcending and start to move beyond what we can even understand. And sometimes, have you ever prayed and then when you got up from praying, you just felt different? That's because we had a spiritual encounter.
Yes, thank you, Father.
We had a supernatural encounter that came over us and overtook us to the point where God's ear was to our mouth and he was listening, because our faith is what, good God Almighty, our faith is what transmits God, the words that we say out of our mouths to the ear of God, and so that God can move based on what our faith says, not simply because of what our mouth says. Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. So it's not a coincidence that I have to pray and petition God, but I gotta also be thankful for what God is getting ready to do because of who God is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, you can be in prayer and be thankful all at the same time, because my faith says I can be praying, Lord, I need the job, but my faith says you're going to get the job because God knows that that's a need for you. My prayer can be, Lord, heal my body, but you got to, by faith, you got to see yourself being healed, because God is a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. Glory to God. He's a promise keeper.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
The psalmist said in Psalms 116 verse 2, he says, because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Listen, when we pray, we have to sense our identity in God, because we have to walk and move under his authority. And so somebody said, why are you doing all that praying? Well, number one, because I know God hears me.
Yeah, amen, amen, amen.
And then they say, what if God don't move in the way you want him to? That's all right. Because the truth is, I'm under his authority. Good God Almighty. How long are you going to pray? I'm going to pray until God moves in the situation. Why? Because I understand that I'm under his authority. Well, what if God doesn't do it in the way you want him to do it? You asking for this. What if he gives you something? Well, God, because I'm under his authority, God has the right to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. Why? Because he's the sovereign God who operates in his authority. Watch this. Over my life.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father.
And so praying for the believer ought not ever go out of style. That's why we got to keep talking to him.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Every situation you might find yourself in, the truth is God ain't surprised. Right. Even when we made it. Right. Help us, Lord Jesus. God ain't surprised. But what we have to understand, that if God is not surprised that I'm here, then God gonna do something about why I'm here. to raise and build me up so that when he gets me out of here, good God Almighty, that I'm going to be able to tell a story to somebody to tell them what God is able to do. And so don't you point your finger at me and wave me down when you see me down, because the reality of it is I'm coming up out of this. And when I come up out of it, you're going to see the salvation of the Lord operating in my life. You're going to see them all over me. Good God Almighty. You're going to see them. When I open my mouth up, you're going to hear everything he's got to say. When you see me walking, you're going to see the steps of God. Because why? Because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we might think or ask. Listen to this. For the power not that worketh in God, but the power that God has allowed to rest in you. Keep talking to him. Keep talking to him. Don't let your circumstance get you to the point where you say, well, I don't even know why I'm praying. God ain't moving on what I'm asking him to move on. See, you quit too early. See, sometimes you don't, see, the person that stays around in the fight is the one that really understands who God is. Because when you leave before the difficulty comes or before God moves on it, then you're going to miss a miraculous move of God. But some things you got to stay in and say, God, I'm not going to move until you move. I'm not going to speak until you speak. I'm not going to do anything until I see your hand move in this situation. Because the truth is, when God does it, you know it was by faith that he did it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes.
And so yes, you can't. You can't stop talking to him.
Thank you, Father.
You got to pray. Glory to God. Glory through to God. Our afflictions.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Second thing.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Second thing, the Bible says in verse 15, glory to God. He says in 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call on. Verse 13, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. That's a clear indication that you're not going to stay in what you're in. Because at some point you're going to have to, God going to make you, he going to make you shift from suffering to singing. Glory to God. That's what it says. That's exactly what it says. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let them pray. But I want you to understand, is anyone among you cheerful? There ought to be at a point in your time of praying and trusting God where you become cheerful.
Yes, amen.
Because of what the Lord is doing.
That's right. Amen.
Verse 15, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And a prayer of faith. I love the way that James sets this up.
Yes.
Because he sets it up that he puts a yet in the sentence. That he says, yeah, you're suffering for a while, but there's going to come a yet where God moves and operates and does something. He says here in verse 15, he says, and the prayer of faith, he says, yet will. He says, will save the sick. Hallelujah. And the Lord will. Help us, Jesus. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And so what we've got to understand is this. Second thing. We have to pray with a faith. With the faith focused on God's will.
Yeah.
I'm hurting now, but I won't always be hurting.
Amen.
I'm sick now, but I won't always be sick.
Amen.
I'm struggling now, but I won't always be struggling.
Amen.
And you're going to see me rise up out of this.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm telling you, God creates an audience for us in our lives because the audience, whether they are believers or non-believers, one of two things are going to happen. Either as believers, either they're going to grow stronger because of what God did with you. If they are non-believer or don't believe, or they're going to come to know who God is because of what God did with you. And so what we've got to understand is that when you pray, there must be faith both in person, in the person, as well as in the one that's praying for you. Did you get that? And so when you tell people, listen, pray for me, you better be careful who you asking to pray for you. Because when you ask somebody to pray for you, you want them to have the same faith in God. Help us, Lord Jesus, that you have. You don't want somebody to be praying for you and they say, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. And every time you cross their mind or God puts you on their heart, they go to bed or they go to sleep or they don't have time to get on their knees. You better ask them, listen, when somebody says, listen, I'm going to pray for you. Listen, what we got to start doing, hold them accountable.
Yes, 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 yes.
Next time you see them, say, hey, hey, you praying for me? Yeah. They say, yeah, I'm praying for, and if you're discerning enough, you'll know, God said, they ain't really praying for me. Well, they say, oh, you got a minute right now. Could you pray for me right now?
Yeah.
What I need God to do, I can't wait for you to get home and forget about me. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for you to get to your car and then the enemy snatches my situation out of your mind. I need him now. And so could you pray for me now?
Yes.
And if they say, hey, listen, I'm late. I don't have no time. Then don't you ask them to pray for you. Amen, somebody. Come on, I'm looking for some folks that's going to make the sacrifice. God looking for some folks that's going to be seekers and say, listen, I got a minute. I can be a little late for the meeting. I'm going to just tell them I had to stop and pray with somebody. Listen, when you stand out front and when your faith stands out front, God then moves based on what he sees in your faith.
Yes.
Not in your words.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
And so sometimes we wonder why the situation that we in is not changing because you're praying in words and not in faith. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Bible says that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so the effectual prayer must be a prayer of faith that has, listen to this, that has some experience in observing the power or the powerful workings of God in your life.
Yes.
See, because sometimes you can't pray for somebody. If you don't, you can pray for them. Now I want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. But when you understand the condition they're in,
see,
if somebody need healing, God has placed it on my heart to be able to be in prayer for them. Why? Because he did it for me.
Amen.
I have now, whew, good God Almighty, whoo, I have now an experience. Good God Almighty. So when I say to the Lord, Lord, in the name of Jesus, heal them, God. And it is not because of some words I just know, because God has revealed healing in my own life.
Yes.
I know what it means for a miracle to take place in the life of an individual. I've seen the supernatural, and I'm not the only one in here. There are some of us in here, we've seen the supernatural power of God. Whether it was on us or we saw it on somebody else, we saw God's power move. And I'm telling you, when God gives you an experience of power and of authority in your life, it is permanently etched in your mind. And so when you grab that person's hand and you said, God, good God Almighty, let me pray for you. When you grab that person's hand, your prayer becomes spiritual because you know firsthand, I know where they are, Lord. I know what they're going through. I know what they're feeling right now because months ago I was there. And if God, if you could do it for me and strengthen my faith, I know you can do it for them.
Yes. Amen.
We're talking about a God who cannot fail. We're talking about a God that does not give up. Who help us, Jesus? We're talking about a God who can do it in short out order if he want to. But we're also talking about a God that'll move at his own pace so that the person who is in need of it understands that God moves based on his authority and not based on just you shouting and hollering.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Father.
He's a God that wants us to be focused on faith.
Thank you, Father.
Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prayed for the Christians in Ephesus. He said, I pray that out of his glorious riches, that God may strengthen you with power through his strength, through his spirit in your inner being. Glory to God. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
That's what he said. He says in the prayer of faith will do something.
Yes.
And sometimes, beloved, we pray and we're not praying in faith. We're praying out of fear. Sometimes we're praying out of doubt. And if you're praying and saying, God, would you do this? And then you say, God, but if you don't do it, then you're not praying in faith. That's not faith. We talked about a few weeks ago about hope, and hope is not a wishful hope. It's a knowing hope. And so when we pray, we have to trust God, and we've got to know that God is concerned about me. That God, I need you to move in this situation for me. And sometimes I'm telling you, sometimes I believe God puts us in a place of desperation. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you're desperate, you pray differently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. When you're struggling, good God of mine, when you're struggling, you're praying differently. Why? Because out of your struggle or out of your desperation, you know you can't go to nobody else but God. And I'm telling you, we got to have that mindset every time we go to God. God should not have to take everything from you and I in order for you and I to seek him. You're in trouble if you're doing that. God should not have to put us on a bed of affliction in order for us to look up to the hills from whence cometh our help, understanding that our help comes from the Lord. God ought not have to permit or allow everything to be taken out of your life that seems to be the stuff that you're worshiping in order to get you to worship him.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying some of us are stealing from God. Stuff that God would just naturally give to us. God's saying you don't have to take that. I'm going to give it to you, but I need you to walk and understand that it is my will that I want to operate in your life. It is my way that I want you to take. The Bible says that he knows the way that we go. He knows it. And so we so busy trying to develop our own GPS when God says, I already got one for you. All you do is gotta, if I say turn left, all you gotta do is turn left. If I say turn right, all you gotta do is turn. If I say keep straight, all you gotta do is keep straight. Why are we making this so difficult? Because God wants to get our attention, and sometimes he gotta use affliction.
Yeah.
In order to get us to focus. You'd have never left the drugs if you didn't have a bad experience with it. You'd have never left drinking if a challenging situation happened and came into your life that almost killed you. And so God is saying, while you're asking for my things, I'm asking for you. He said, I want you. And he said, listen, no. You keep asking for stuff. And God says, out of my love for you, if you need it, I'm going to do it. But the reality is I just don't want to give you my stuff. I want to give you me.
Yes.
And I want you.
Thank you, Father.
Yes. I want you.
Thank you, Lord.
God's saying, when you're praying to me, this ain't no transaction. It's about I'm answering your prayer, not out of an ATM transaction understanding. I'm answering your prayer because I'm in a relationship. Good God Almighty.
Yes.
God says, I want you. And so when we pray, we got to stop praying to God and giving God a list of things that we want. Yeah, he'll move on some of those. But God is saying, I got your list. But I'm sorry, honey, I'm not Santa Claus. God says, I got your list, but I'm not the market that then brings you your food. I got your list, but is your list more important than me? God says, I want you. And you keep running and you keep playing around and you keep, God said, no. See, what you want from me is greater than what you can receive. And in order for you to receive what I really have for you, I gotta build you under my strength. Yeah, you asking for the healing, but when I heal you, will you tell everybody what I've done, or will you just simply be satisfied because you got something that you have asked me for? God's saying, I want to use you as a billboard. Yeah, I know you was a dope addict before, but I want to use you. I want you to be able to tell the other dope addict, look at what God has done. Well, I know you was a liar before I got my hands on your life, but I'm going to move in such a way that after I move and I anoint your tongue for you to tell the truth, I want you sharing the truth with everybody.
Come on now. Yes, Lord. Jesus.
Ah, hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Speak, Lord.
Stop worrying about what you need and ask God in faith concerning who he is. God loves it. Hallelujah. God loves it when we come to him with our concerns. God wants to know what's going on with you and I. But the catch is, when we go to God with our concerns and we ask him for the things that we want or we need, or we understand that God, we need God to move on something, we have to ask him with the faith that believes God is the only one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good God Almighty. That can do it.
Yeah.
See, some of us got too many options. Help us, Lord. Some of us say, if God don't do it, then I'll go do this. If God doesn't move on it fast enough, then I'll go and try to work this. God is moving a little too slow, so let me try to get the ball rolling. That's when you cause yourself to have difficulty. Because when you earnestly go to God and you say, Lord, I'm coming to you because there ain't nobody else. And really the truth is, God, I ain't gone to nobody else to even try to fix this thing out. I know that there's no one else that can do for me what you can do.
Amen.
Yes, I have a concern, but my concern is I'm not so focused on my concern that I nullify the relationship.
Jesus.
I'm in a relationship with you.
Thank you.
I love you, Lord. Yeah, I love you. It ain't that kind of love when your children say, oh, mommy, daddy, I love you. And then we become suspect and say, well, what you need? God is saying, before you say I love, he say, what you need?
Amen.
Because I see your faith.
Thank you, Lord.
I see your love for me.
Thank you, Father.
I see your hope in me.
Thank you, Father.
Ah, glory to God. Yeah. And I'm telling you, God wants us to rely on. So I'm telling you, a lot of the situations that we are avoid of in our lives is because we don't need God the most.
Yeah. Mm.
But when you get to the point where God ain't got to take nothing from you for you to need him, oh, help us, Lord. That's where I want to be. I want to be able for God to say, now listen, I know I can give you the things that you're asking for, because I know you're not going to make a God of the things that you're asking for. Because yeah, I blessed you with a car, but I don't see you coming to church. Yeah, I blessed you with a house, but soon as somebody say, can I come? Oh no, I don't have no business there. The reality of it is that everything we have, God gave it to us. God gave it to us. And that's why it ought not be a big deal when to give God your resources and your money and your time. It ought not be a big challenge.
Yes, yes.
Because the truth is, your phone wouldn't be on if it wasn't for God. Come on, amen, amen. Pull your cell phones out. Your cell phone wouldn't be working if it wasn't for God giving you a job and giving you the strength to be on your job to pay your telephone bill. Listen, they would call you and your phone would be off if it was left up to you. Every time that there's food on your table and you sitting there, I don't care where you are. You could be at McDonald's. You ought to bow your head and you ought to pray and you ought to thank God for this meal.
Yeah, yeah. Because he provided it. That's right.
People scared to pray in public. I don't want nobody. No, I don't want nobody. No, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I listen. And if somebody from the other table says, listen, did you pray? Absolutely, we pray over our food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prayer is simply having a conversation with God in faith.
Amen.
And so that's why you can't stop talking to him. Even when you don't hear, even when you don't hear him talking to you, you keep talking to him. I'm telling you, you're going to hear him talking to you. You keep talking to him. God going to give you his wisdom in a situation, and you're going to wonder, how in the world am I going to get out with this? And God going to speak his wisdom into your thoughts.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
And so Jeremiah 33, chapter 33.